Good morning. Thank you, Steve, for introducing the theme for this morning. I want to give you a bit of an update on the Freeman family. As you know, am I getting some feedback? Give you a bit of... is it better if I stand on the stage? Or?
Okay.
Is that better?
Yeah.
It's better when I'm not talking? You know, since January, for many of you know, I've started a new role with Youth Unlimited, or Youth for Christ, in the Kawarthas, as executive director there. And it's been a great and exciting journey so far. We have staff in Peterborough and Fenland Falls and Bob Cajun, Halliburton and Lakefield. These are spots you'd love to go to in the summertime. They're beautiful. But I started in January. And you know what? It is a very dark place in the wintertime. All the cottagers have left, most of them. And it's the families that are left there that live there all year round. That struggle often through those times when many have moved out. Did you know in Halliburton, which many people know where Halliburton is or heard of Halliburton, it's a beautiful place. I was there on Friday night. It's one of the poorest communities in Ontario. Did you know that? I didn't know that. I've found more about the plight of rural youth over the last few months than I ever had known. The issues around isolation, access to things that are going on, broken families. And so we've had the privilege to be able to be part of what God is doing in a kingdom perspective in the Kawarthas, and it's been a real blessing. But it's been difficult in some ways to leave Scarborough. I tell people I love Scarborough, and they look at me funny. Because they think anything outside of Toronto is the promised land. But Scarborough, we love. And we have sold our house. And we have purchased a house just outside of Peterborough. I was just sitting there thinking the other night that July 4th is our last day in our home. Because we know that it was a miracle to get our house in our community. We didn't have the finances necessarily to buy a house here. But God provided a way for us to have a house. And it's been a blessing, not only for us, but we believe it's been a blessing for the community and this church because of the relationships that we've been able to develop by living here. And I remember when we first moved into our house, it was in terrible shape. Mike North is looking at me, yes, he did some painting. And when we actually first looked at the house, it was full of stuff. Like, so much stuff that you really had to have some vision to see what it could look like. And I remember the first day that we walked into the house after the family had moved, and all that stuff was gone. And the only thing that was left was some dust and some cobwebs. And upstairs in the bedroom was this thing hanging on the door, and it was a little, looks like a cross, a little thing that said Jesus on it. Even in the moments of that house being this chaotic, a place that my in-laws wouldn't allow our kids to walk in, was this symbol that Jesus was still there. And when we moved in, God has blessed us by that. And so I want to talk this morning, as Stephen mentioned, is that often we think of peace is the absence of trouble. But really, peace is the presence of God. And that's really hope that as you leave today, you'll be thinking about. And Steve had read Psalm 46, and that's this morning I'm going to share some stories, stories that you may have heard before, some stories from the last few years here in Bridletown, just to encourage you that God is very much real, and He's alive, and He is active, and He truly is a God of peace. Psalm 46 starts to say, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. This God that the psalmist is talking about is the very God that created this world. He is the very God that allows us to have life on earth. If you're a scientist, you must appreciate God. For me, I'm not a scientist, but I know that if we were closer to the sun, we would burn. If we were farther away from the sun, we would what? We would
freeze.
The earth is on an axis, right? I'm not sure why, but somehow it holds everything together, that we may have life on earth. But we think this is the God that created and holds this earth together, that we may have life. We heard this morning that it's been raining a lot. We've heard things on the radio and in the news of earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes and wars. These are difficult things as people to manage through, and many do not survive. But at the end of the day, this world still sustains life, doesn't it? And in the psalmist reads here, he says, his faith in God is so strong that even if the mountains fall into the sea, that he trusts God. Even if the earth becomes to the point where no man can or women can live on it, he still trusts in terms of uncreation. And so, that is the trust that the psalmist has as he speaks, as he says, therefore, we will not fear though earth gives away, through the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. It's amazing that we are encouraged today to trust a God even in moments where earth isn't no longer. We serve an eternal God, the God that was before, the God that is present, the great I am, and the God that will always be there. We sang that today, the everlasting God. This is the God that we trust, the one that creates. That we can have trust in a God even when the very earth that we live on no longer exists. That he is the eternal God. Pastor Trevor talked about the gospel a few weeks ago and said the famous verse, what John 3:16, let's say it. For God so that he gave his, that whoever believeth in him would have everlasting or eternal life. That our hope isn't just in today. It's not just in one day when we will get to heaven, but even today we can have eternal life if you trust in Jesus Christ. This reminds me of a story when I've shared this before, so bear with me. Our second year of working in this community, we were developing the Family Fun Fair, the community fair over at the school. And by the way, that's June 17th this year. And though it's a school event, our church has had lots of volunteers over the years to send over. Pastor Trevor has led the activities there. And so we've had a great opportunity to partner with the school in that way. But anyways, we have about 700,000 people come for this event. And this one particular year, and it's an outdoor event, so we are open to the weather, and if it's a problem, we have to change the date. So the principal comes to me 5 days before the event, and he says, the weather looks bad. It says 50-50 chance it's going to rain. Do you want to change the date? And I thought, well, why don't we just wait? But the problem was that we had ordered pizza. Remember this story? We had ordered pizza for that many people. So we think between 400 to 700 meals of pizza. That's a lot of money. And Domino's Pizza said to us, you have to let us know by the Wednesday. The event was on the Friday. You have to let us know by Wednesday if you're going to order the pizza. And I don't know about you, but the weather forecasts are not always accurate. You know. And so we had to make a decision whether to go through, and we decided to go through. And I'm foreshadowing what's going to happen here. But on the Wednesday, the principal, Mr. McPherson, had said to me, make sure you pray to the big guy upstairs. So that translated into pray to God that it won't rain. And I don't know why I felt this, but I believe that God had given me this. And I thought, you know, I need to just pray for contentment if it rains. And I told him that. Normally I'd pray not for it to rain, but he just really felt him to say, pray for contentment. And so the day came up and it was sunny out. The event started at 5:30. At 5 o'clock, many of the people were already there and we were setting up, and the principal comes out and says, Guy, I just want to let you know that there's tornado warnings in Hamilton. And we're like, oh, should we move it inside? And we're like, And then suddenly I see this wind. And normally you can't see wind. I guess you see it when the trees are bowing down. But I could see wind because of the baseball diamond. You could see the actual rocks and the stones be lifted up, and you could see this big thing of wind. And at that moment, we're just like, okay, get everything inside. And at the same time, Nikki's out there with Chloe. She's just turning one in July that year. And so Nikki grabs Chloe out of the stroller, and this young girl, Venusia, who was part of our after-school program, runs and grabs Nikki. And that tent just gives way and blows apart and hits Nikki and Venusia on the head. And Chloe is safe. And we all run inside. And as I tell the story in the past, the Domino's, what a great organization. And they make it there even in the storm. I mean, all the pizza. And so what do we do? Because not everybody showed up because they had bought these tickets ahead of time. So we have to give the pizza for free. And kids are running around with pizza. One kid says, you know, I got free pizza. And I had prayed that day God would be revealed and that his grace would be shown. And I believe that God revealed himself in those circumstances. First of all, I believe he showed himself in the wind because it was much greater than anything we can manipulate, right? We could try and do everything we could to avoid rain, but we couldn't. That there was something that was stronger beyond ourselves. But also God showed grace through taking care of Nikki, but also through the pizza, right? A kid saying, I got something I don't deserve. And it was a great conversation piece because our salvation is not based on something that we deserve, right? And so it was a great talking point. But in the time of trouble, peace was there because I believe the presence of God. And it's been a great opportunity for us to get to know our neighbors in those moments. We would have never planned for a storm to hit. And there were trees down along our street, so it was a significant storm. As the psalm goes on, it talks about something very different here. It says there in 4, it says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. It goes on to talk about a place that we would love to be in. A place of stability and security and peace. And this, in some ways, is referring to one day when Jesus comes back, that we look forward to that, right? That there will be a day when there will be a place where there will be security and peace because God is with us in that place. But also here, it's talking about the city of Jerusalem. And when the temple was built there, and God was in the Holy of Holies within the temple, that was a great time for Israel. But also that they took for granted that God was there. So when Jeremiah was preaching to them and saying that, you know, obey God. And, you know, there is going to be an attack by the Babylonians. And they're like, yeah, don't worry. The temple is here. The temple is here. It's okay. We're fine. But they began to lose focus about God. They were thinking, well, the temple's here, so we must be safe. And as we know, history would tell us, and the word is that the temple was destroyed and the city was overtaken. And their hope in their religious practices and their hope in the temple did not live up to what they were thinking, and they were not trusting in God. Does that ever happen? I really hope that this is not just a routine for you to come to church on Sundays, that this is a safe place. This is a place of community, which they are all good. But we come here to worship God, the living God. We come here to get to know Him and to learn more about Him and to come alongside each other as Christians, but our focus is to be on Him and Him alone. And I was thinking, you know, the other day that of the story, and this is really our story because it happened last April. Do you know the story I'm going to share? Last April, someone knocked on our door when Trevor was preaching and said, "Can we come in? Our building is on fire." This is 100 Echo Point. The top floor was on fire. And people were coming from that building, and they were coming over here for refuge. And in some ways, it was really easy for us. God made it easy for us to love and our neighbor. The coffee was already on, and we could move the chairs around, and we stopped our service, and we had a time with our neighbors and to provide a place for them in a difficult time. The interesting part is that why did they come over here? Because there were buses that the city had provided that people could go. It was a day like this. It wasn't very nice outside. And there's a day like, they could have gone to the buses and sat in the buses. But they came over here because, do you remember the story? There was a police officer that was responsible for this problem. And he sent the people from the building over here. Because he knew, not because of our building, because he knew that there were people here that were followers of Jesus Christ. And as we know, after we talked to him, he is a Christian. And not only was he a Christian, but he was he had gone to the same church, Calvary Baptist Church, who is the very church that supports Nikki and I. That God had put someone there to direct people to here. That people didn't run here just to the building, they ran here to people. And I just want to let you know the significance of this. The police officer went to Calvary Baptist Church. This church, and I don't like to throw out numbers too often, but this gives us significance. But over the last 6.5 years, this church has given our little church over $150,000 in support. They've sent mission teams here. They have prayed for us because they believe in the work that is happening here in this church and the mission that we have to love our neighbors. And God had put a police officer over 100 Echo to send people over here, which, as we know, had sparked. I don't want to give... I want to say that our youth ministry has been faithful. But that sparked why we have such a large and vibrant youth group today. Because many of those kids that came over from 100 Echo developed conversations with Alan and others here at the church. And today we have, 25 to 50 kids on a Wednesday? And some of those kids are from that building. So even in the time of trouble, the time of a fire, God used those moments to develop a relationship with kids and families in this community. And we praise God for that. So it goes on in verse 8. It says, "Come and behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire." In a famous verse, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Yes, the God that we serve, the God that we believe in, we believe will end all wars one day. And he has that ability to do that. But I think what this does is it sets up verse number 10, where it says, "Be still and know that I am God." If you just imagine if you have kids or you've worked with kids or even trying to get their attention. I don't know, Steve, what you say to your kids, but you say, "Stop fighting! Stop! And listen to me. Right now." God here is saying to us, "Stop! Be still and know that I am God." He's not saying, "Stop and relax and just breathe and find your inner self." He's saying, "Stop and know that I'm God. I'm the God who's exalted among all the nations. I'm the one who created the heavens and the earth. Recognize me." That's what he's saying. Be still and know that I am God. And we were reminded a couple weeks ago from Pastor Trevor to spend that time with God, because he asks us to, that as being believers of Jesus Christ, to spend that time with God. What does that mean practically? Well, we need to continue to ask God, "What do you have for us?" Another story that I've shared before, and it's not even really a significant story, but I think it gets to the heart of this. Every year for day camp, we get government funding for our staff. We have a large staff, 7 to 8 staff members, and we get some funding from the government. And they want to make sure that we actually hire the people, that we pay properly, that they are safe and healthy and all those, and we're not overworking them. So anyways, so we get audited. So 1 year, and they won't give you notice when they come. And we also have like job descriptions, so, which I knew you figured we did, but we have job descriptions that were specific, like director of crafts and drama director, and which is true because they do those workshops. But normally our staff will come together and do things together. So when the auditor comes, the very moment the auditor comes, everybody is doing those things, which was really cool. I mean, they came in and our craft director was doing crafts and our drama director was doing drama. I mean, it was amazing. And so the reason I tell you this story is that, you may know this, what the auditor comes to me and says, "Everything worked out okay." And I'm like, "Okay, good." You know, even if you're doing the right things, you get worried. You know, when you're driving down the road and you know you're not speeding, but you're still worried that there's a police officer. It's like one of those moments, like, what did I do wrong? You know, you're still worried that something is going to come up. And so he says, "Everything was fine, but one thing." They said, "There's something that was odd. I asked them how much they make, and none of the staff," she said, "none of the staff actually know how much they make." And I'm like, "Oh, really? Has Nikki been paying them?" You know, it's like. And so, but she said, "That's okay." She says, it's refreshing that your staff cares more about the kids than they do about getting paid. That our staff cares more about the mission of God than their own security. I know they were just university kids, but they still have to worry about going to school in the fall. And their attitude was, "God will provide. God has called me here to work with these kids. He will provide." And that was their attitude. And I think that's what we're called to do. That if we are focused on God, if we really believe that God is our refuge and strength, that when he calls us to do something, that he will provide. I'm going to end with a story that is actually recent. And just to affirm this idea that I think the passage is saying, is that in Peterborough, we have an after-school program. And this young girl comes up to one of our staff, and she breaks down. Like, if you work with kids and you get to know them well enough and you develop a relationship, they feel comfortable to share. And they come to our staff and they say, she says, I've been cutting myself. And she starts to cry. And you know that she comes from a broken family or a bad situation. You know that the conditions are out of your hands in some ways, right? You ever work with people that you really can't do anything about their circumstance, but you can give them hope? But anyways, this girl comes, and if you know anything about cutting, sometimes experts will tell us that, and sometimes when people cut, they cut because they're so numb on the inside emotionally that they cut to realize they can still feel pain. That they're dead on the inside. And you know, in those moments, you just want to say, stop cutting! Stop cutting! But it's below the surface is the problem. Right? And Jesus says he gives life, and he gives life from the inside out. And that's the message that we have. We have a message of hope, that we can say that God is our refuge and strength and the very present help in trouble. In trouble. We are not defined by our circumstance. We are defined by our relationship with God. Ron Allen, he works in our community. I've watched him work for the last 6.5 years. And he's worked with many people. And I know Ron would get mad at me for saying this, but often he cannot change people's circumstances. Ron doesn't go out and find jobs for people. He may come alongside families and help them, but ultimately, Ron is here to give hope to the people that we work with. Amen?
Amen.
And that hope is Jesus Christ. Right? We care practically about people's lives. We come alongside each other and support each other in every way we can. But ultimately, hope comes from God. God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in trouble. Let's praise him and pray. Thanks. Father up in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that you are the eternal God. We thank you, Lord, that you have revealed yourself to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you have defeated death. Thank you, Lord, that that you are our refuge and strength. Lord, I pray that each one of us here believes that. It is easy to walk away here this morning, and the first thing that comes up, we begin to worry. Lord, that seems to be how we're wired, that we want to fix every problem, that peace can come from the absence of a removal of conflict and trouble in a very practical way. Sometimes we send our kids downstairs to watch TV so we can have some peace. But Lord, I pray that we would know that true peace comes from being still and knowing that you are God. That you are very much close to us in the times when it doesn't make sense. And I pray that in those moments that we would ask you why. Lord, we just pray that for that assurance. And we thank you for what you're going to do and what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen.